You have to look at your day, your week in balance. Balance to a highly successful person is like 80-20. We're never 50-50 because nobody great at anything is 50-50.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Jewel Schroeder. Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Jewel Schroeder, tuning in today from Salt Lake City, Utah. Today's guest is joining me from Charlottesville, Virginia. I've got Sean Castrina in the house. Sean, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
I'm excited. Let's go.
Super excited to have this guy on the show. Not only is he a fellow podcaster, which some of you will soon get to realize in how he carries himself, he is the founder of the Weekend MBA. He's also a serial entrepreneur. I know you've started over 20 companies in the last 20 years, and you still seek to launch a new venture annually. So definitely a student of life and also an author of 4 best-selling books, including the 8 Unbreakable Rules for Business Startup Success, The Greatest Entrepreneur in the World, Developing the Entrepreneur Within, and The World's Greatest Business Plan. I know your podcast, the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, has it digestible and punchy, which is what we love to do on Unconventional Life as well. So excited to have you on the show, Sean. Fill in any gaps that I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
My mom's name is Maria. My dad's name is Arthur. You've about covered everything. No, we're good. We are good.
Awesome. So Sean, I know you have a lot of conversations about business. And what is one conversation you feel like you don't usually get to have and one conversation that needs to be had in this domain?
The one I have too much of lately is culture over profit. Like everybody feels like culture is like, it's like the kumbaya thing. Leaders create culture, good or bad. If you're not a leader, somebody within your organization will create culture. But if you don't make money, you don't have a business to have a culture with. And I think that we somehow think culture will like fix everything. No, profit fixes everything. Culture can't fix anything. You can't pay a bill with culture. And I think that's the one thing that is just so like, we just strive in our culture and we just love everybody. Well, good. Miss a paycheck on Friday and see how much that culture you got. Miss payroll 1 week.
You know, I think as the world has, you know, prioritized, you know, the people and the culture. And as you said, profit, if it's not making money, it's a fancy hobby in so many ways. How have you seen that in the startups? And how do you feel like more founders can focus their attention there? And, you know, what have you seen in your own experience?
I mean, I think lately over the last few years, it's like it's a curse word to say profit. Everything's got to be so damn holistic. And it's just, I always say, well, go to a university, 8 out of 10 buildings, they got the name of an entrepreneur on them because they're the one who paid for it. Yeah. Every nonprofit is funded by a profit. We only get excited about Bill Gates now because he just happens to be Bill's biggest philanthropist in the world. You know, at the end of the day, entrepreneurs make money and they employ people and they're the great engine that keeps everything moving. And I think that I just, when I meet people and they want to like strike the perfect chord, we're going to have just great culture and we're going to have this, we're going to have that. And I'm like, okay, why don't you first start with making customers absolutely love what the hell it is you're selling? Because if you do that, you'll probably make some profit. When you make profit, you'll probably have a company that lasts long enough to where culture will matter. I love culture. I have culture in my company. It wasn't when I thought about the first 2 years when I was trying to survive. My first 2 years, culture was, can we stay in business?
You know, with that, you know, one of my favorite things about you is you seek every year to launch a new venture annually. And I know that that's like putting yourself in a new market and, you know, putting yourself in a new culture and all those different components. And for someone listening to the show that may either have been in entrepreneurship for a while, may be in the corporate and now the side hustle, or someone that's looking to pivot, what does it take to come in, new venture? What kind of mindset, what kind of mentality? You're starting a business right now. What is, you know, Sean's mental checklist, your thought process? How do you go about it?
I think the key thing that good entrepreneurs have, okay, there's guys who start a business and they hang on to it for dear life and they're happy with that. And whoever you are, that's fine. Okay. But I don't put you as an entrepreneur. You had an entrepreneurial hiccup, got something started. Now you're going to hold on to it for dear life. An entrepreneur is like a crackhead. They're always looking for something. They're always adding something, like an Elon Musk. Okay. I just got out of PayPal. Let me buy into Tesla. Let me do this. Let me just start SpaceX. And oh, by the way, let me go buy Twitter on my free time. That's kind of how it is among entrepreneurs and Richard Branson's and all the rest. And you watch Shark Tank. The mindset is different. I mean, entrepreneurs typically are extraordinarily competitive, extremely confident that they can do it. Generally are very good communicators. You know, they can pitch things really well. They do, you know, they pitch in such a way that people want to join them. Generally have high energy, and they're opportunistic. They're always looking for the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And I'm just quickly throwing things off. But, you know, I remember when I wrote my first book and I did seminars. Oh gosh, if I'd had a water pistol, I would have shot myself in the head. I want to say that politically correct. It was a water pistol. I meet people and I look across the front row and I'm like, if I handed you the Google business plan and $1 billion, you couldn't do it. Like, there's just no energy. It's like nobody would ever come work for this person or that, you know, there's just no energy. There's no confidence. There's no, you know, that something. And there is that something that entrepreneurs, I think, have that, you know, other people don't, you know, don't. They get very comfortable and they just really happy with vanilla. And, you know, entrepreneurs, we want all the sprinkles. You know, we want it all. We want the whole thing.
Absolutely. You know, Sean, for some of our listeners that might not be familiar with you, and if they are tuning into you first time on the show listening to you, and we're a fly on the wall and they're like, who do you think this guy is? Like, where does this guy, like, was this guy always this way? Where, you know, what were some of these snapshots, you know, that we might have seen in terms of the mindset? Not only, I mean, the accolades, I'm sure people can read your books and figure out, you know, who you are and what you've done, but just you as the person, what would some of the things we would have seen along the way? Fly on the wall.
Right. This is what my mother said. At 4 years old, my grandparents came to visit us and my grandmother walked in and she's like, come here, give me a hug. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't do it. And my grandmother goes, if you don't give me a hug, grandma's going to leave. And my mom said, I went and got her coat for her. Kind of like, hi, grandma, you can leave. So that's kind of like phase one of that. And so, you know, I mean, I'm just directing to the point. What I say, I mean, I do what I say I'm going to do. And I just kind of stay in that. But I think being an athlete, I was a Division I athlete in college. To be a good athlete, you have that something. You just do. Whether anybody believes in you or not, you know, you just kind of believe, yeah, I can get it done. That transfers over in entrepreneurship. Because sometimes you're the only one that thinks it can get done. Like there's sometimes you're at the pinnacle points to where you're like, we're so close. But you're the only one that believes.
Hello, Unconventional Lifers. This is your host, Jules, with some exciting news to share. We just launched our next Unconventional Life event on a private island in Fiji this November 9th through the 13th. This 5-day business accelerator is going to be so awesome, full of 75 entrepreneurs, creatives, and thought leaders located on the most gorgeous private coral reef. I was there in June and absolutely fell in love. So if you are ready to head to your next level, you feel like there's something brewing inside of you, or you want an awesome pattern interrupt, make sure to head over to unconventionallifeshow.com/Fiji to get all the details about the event. We are selling tickets like crazy. We just launched this event and made it open. We do these events twice a year. So come connect with this amazing community. Join us on this island in Fiji. Even if you're a little bit curious, head over to that link to see what it's all about, and we'll see you there.
Was entrepreneurship always natural for you? Was that like the destined path?
Not at all. I mean, I figured, you know, I went to college, I went to grad school. I'd get out of college and just be a, you know, work for a company, work my way up, be the CEO by 35, make a great salary. To me, that didn't bother me. In other words, like example, I like my gig right now, but if you asked me to be the commissioner of the NFL, I would sell it all tomorrow and do it. I mean, there's certain jobs, he makes $47 million a year and he has lifetime... lifetime access to a private jet and health insurance. My point is there's certain jobs that, yeah, I would take that I don't think are, you know, that are good positions. So it never really crossed my mind. I knew I was never going to be poor and I was never going to be broke or anything like that. But I was completely open to the idea of being an employee for a big company and work my way up. I mean, it's kind of my brain thinks like a heat seeking missile. So it would have just been like, okay, I'm here. I want to be here. How many steps to get to there? What do I got to do to get to there? And then, you know, that's kind of how my brain works and would have figured it out. And then I lost my dream job. I heard these incredible words. These are the words you never want to hear when you come to work. Sean, we're going in a different direction. We are going in a different direction is never what you want to hear. And once I heard that, I just kind of knew that there's no loyalty, isn't it? You may think you have loyalty, you know, that you're on the, you don't know. You can be let go anytime you want. And I'm like, being an entrepreneur, even if I'm on the Titanic, mm-hmm. at least I get to see the iceberg, right? At least I know it's coming and I can try to turn or jump off the boat. But once I there, I just literally walked in one day. In a million years, it wouldn't have crossed my mind. That got everything moving.
What was the first venture that were you excited about the first one? Or was it kind of just like, because sometimes people are like, oh, it's got to be the perfect fit. It's got to be this. It's got to be that.
And there is no perfect. Like, this is what I know in life. Okay. There is no perfect. I literally have that in my contracts with my clients because I do. I actually do. It's a thing because I realized I created these crazy customers over 22 years and they literally thought we could do anything. It really got to that point to where every client wanted the 4-minute mile. And I finally had to start putting in my contracts in bold. Please read this. There is no such thing as perfect. If you're the client that needs the perfect experience, the perfect timetable, the perfect this, perfect that, please call our office. We'll give you your deposit back. I even put in there, and you know who you are. I literally say that statement, and you know who you are. Please call our office. So kind of, you know, the whole perfect, there is no perfect. I was a job selling life insurance after I lost my job, fairly decent communicator. And, you know, other than selling crack, selling insurance really does well from what I understand. The first time I was around a lot of millionaires. So I'm sitting in a sales meeting on a Monday. I'm looking at everybody's cars and it's like Mercedes, BMW and all these. And I'm like, we're wasting like 2 hours in this meeting. Wouldn't it be cool if somebody would come here and like wash our cars while we're in this meeting? Like everybody in here could afford to pay for that. And everybody in here needs a clean car because we're going out to sell. And this is before, you know, there was a car wash every 600 yards. And I've never cleaned a car in my life. I don't like labor. That doesn't interest me. But I came up with the business plan like right there. Okay, we're going to get vehicle with a water tank. This is before mm-hmm. you did that. Okay, and I need this and I need that. And we need a generator and kind of, if we had this, we could do it on a vehicle. And I started for under $5,000. And all I did is create the marketing, the startup, and the flow like that you called. It was 1-888-933-3824. It was 1-888-WE-DETAIL. That's when toll-free numbers were in there. The name of the business was Wax Master Mobile Detailing. It was a really cool like sponge guy with a hose. Mm. Our tagline, which I always grab something bold. It was America's Choice in Mobile Detailing. Like right from the beginning, I had it looking like a franchise. And I made like 30-some thousand dollars passive. And I knew then, okay, wait a second, I got something here. Because I didn't love it. I wasn't doing the work, but I kind of knew that, okay, service companies with the right margin are gold. Yeah. And I've rinsed and repeated that for 30 years and have made millions and millions of dollars with service companies across the board.
Yeah, I love that. And I know in one of your books, you know, Developing the Entrepreneur Within and the World's Greatest Business Plan, I'm sure you go into that in a little bit more detail. And what do you think it takes to have a good business plan? And I know you've just sprinkled a few of those nuggets in there. And anything you want to add? A
couple critical things. Number one is that the business that you're looking to start, why do you think it's going to work? Outside of just you think it's going to work. What metrics have you done? Has there been any beta testing of any sort? Just because you think it's going to work doesn't mean it's going to work. Have you thought about doing maybe a pre-sale? You got to do something. You got to get some level of validation before you start putting some money into this. Number one, you know, I think is, you know, why this idea? What makes you think this is the one? Number two is who's your competition? Number three is why are people going to buy from you over your competition? What's going to make you unique? I mean, these are pretty simple things. How are you going to attract customers? What's going to be your method of attracting customers? Who's the team that you need to get this business going and then ongoing? You know, you get it off the ground and then to keep it going. I mean, I'm just running through a few and you can get that book for free if you go to, you know, SeanCastrina.com. There, I know we're always giving away a book, but people don't even do that. I mean, I can go 50 questions deep, but that's the concept. What is your cost to start the business? Whatever you think it is, add 50%. Then what are your ongoing costs to operate? What are your operating expenses going to be? Don't give me a projected income because that's a fantasy. Assume you're going to make zero. So make sure you have enough money to bankroll at least 90 days. I tell you, if you didn't make money in 90 days, close the business down. It's a bad idea or you need to make a massive pivot. Small businesses, businesses under 500, assuming you're not getting venture capital, which is the 1 in 10,000 for the rest of us common human beings. We actually have to make money. Simple things I'm going through really fast, but most people don't even do that. You know, I tell them, you know, who's your target customer? Well, what's that? I mean, not everybody's going to buy from you. Why don't you tell me the one that's most likely going to buy from you? And what is the message you're going to use to differentiate yourself? What's your business name? Is it a name that sounds like global or not just like a real local? You know, does it have a little bit of something to it? You know, Mike's Plumbing. You know, think a little bit bigger. Okay, when you pick that name, did you look and see if the domain was available? When you got one of those squirrely little dot something or others afterwards, everybody knows you didn't think through the name. A good domain, you got to find another name.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these are just simple things that you do. Another piece of advice, don't quit your job to start a business. It's 168 hours in a week. Okay. There's no reason why you can't do two things. If you don't have the energy to do that, you're probably not going to make it anyway. Because when you get excited about doing something like a startup, you are wired. You don't need 5 hour energy. You think about it all the time. You can't get home. You can't wait to get home to start working on it. You're working on it in every minute of free time during your regular job. You work on it before you even go to work. You have that, you know, organic energy.
Well said. And that unconventional lifers, you can head over to Sean, S-E-A-N, Castrina, C-A-S-T-R-I-N-A.com. We'll put that link in our show notes at unconventionallifeshow.com if you want to read and check out a little bit more of this. And, you know, everything that you're saying, it is, it's the fundamentals that so often the bells and whistles is what a lot of people spend their time and their energy on and trying to work out first. But the basics, does it make money? And is there a demand for it? And have you thought it through? And I know that critical thinking is so important. And I think there's a lot of fear often for people, even if you look in the climate right now, you know, the news cycle, the recession, that this, that, that, COVID. And I know always something. And I know people, including myself, that, you know, did fantastic through it and so many things. And not that there isn't challenge and those things are a part of it. And if you have been challenged through it, I think where there's challenge, there's opportunity. And so how do you navigate some of that fear? And for those, I know you work with a lot of clients, a lot of people, I know you interview a lot of people. Any perspective that you can offer to the listeners about, you know, that culture?
Clearly, when you have like a pandemic at that portion, okay, it would have been okay to pause your business for 6 months before starting it. I mean, there are some common sense things. I mean, that in fairness, that was a once in 100 years type of thing. In 2008, maybe you would pause starting a mortgage company. You know, there's certain things that, but outside of those, life goes on. There's always going to be a reason not to do it. And you're always going to be scared. I mean, I still do things that I'm very uncomfortable with. And it takes a lot for me to be uncomfortable where I'm really out on my skis. I got a lot pushed into the center of the pot here on this venture. I'm very conservative in that. I don't like to take risks any more than anybody else does. I mean, I like every bet hedged, you know, and most entrepreneurs do. Very few entrepreneurs like to lose money. We can deal with it probably better than most people when it actually happens, because we believe we'll make it back. We're going to make it back. But we, you know, it's not like we go into ventures ever thinking we're going to lose. We're pretty confident. We've done everything to get everything in our favor. And sometimes crap happens and you pivot and do something else.
Absolutely. Well, my last question for you before we jump into the rapid fire round and unconventional lifers, we got a giveaway coming up shortly after that. When you look at your holistic perspective of success, and I know fear can spill over. It has for me, right? It's like fear about business, about money, and then that impacts family, or I'm not going to go to the gym, or maybe I'm not going to do this thing. How do you manage entrepreneurship with all areas of your life and anything you've learned over the years about how to really have that holistic perspective of success?
Yeah. I mean, I think that you have to look at your day, your week, your year in balance to some degree. I mean, balance to a highly successful person is like 80-20. We're never 50-50 because nobody great at anything is 50-50. I mean, seriously, I mean, you think Tiger Woods became great at golf because he was 50-50, Mike Phelps, Tom Brady, you think Warren Buffett's 50-50 on anything? No, I mean, serious. You see what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah,
Bill Gates said he never took a day off in his 20s, not one day. I mean, Elon Musk, you look at his schedule. So in fairness, balance to an entrepreneur is different. I would say that we squeeze more out of 24 hours than the average person. We tend to get up earlier. We tend to get more things naturally done and managing our time and things like that. So I think you have to just organize your time better. I get up earlier. I don't get up at 4. If I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd be going to bed at 4 in the afternoon. You got to sleep.
Yeah.
You got to sleep between 6 and 8 hours, or at some point you turn into a zombie. But, you know, I schedule working out like morning routine. I don't look at my phone other than see if there's an emergency. If you own companies, you kind of take a peek to see if the place burned down last night. But once you get past that, then the first hour is mine. So I'm going to work out. I'm going to exercise, period. That's happening because I can't fix what happens during the day. The reality is you can't fix anything before 8 o'clock anyway. I mean, you're not reaching, you know what I'm saying? In most cases, you have a window from about 8 a.m. to about 6 p.m. to where you can actually communicate with all the people you need to get a lot done. So you have that window. When you get home, I like around 7:30 at night, like to sit down for like a half hour. Like blueprint my next day, review the day I just had. I just sandwich my day me time when I start the day and me time at the end of the day.
Well said. Well, Sean, I know you are a wealth of knowledge and we could keep going, and we'll go into this rapid fire round, which is the last segment of the show. And Unconventional Lifers will have that giveaway shortly after. So got a series of lightning questions coming at you. Are you ready?
Hello, Unconventional Lifers. This is your host, Jules, with some exciting news to share. We just launched our next Unconventional Life event on a private island in Fiji this November 9th through the 13th. This 5-day business accelerator is going to be so awesome, full of 75 entrepreneurs, creatives, and thought leaders located on the most gorgeous private coral reef. I was there in June and absolutely fell in love. So if you are ready to head to your next level, you feel like there's something brewing inside of you, or you want an awesome pattern interrupt, make sure to head over to unconventionallifeshow.com/Fiji to get all the details about the event. We are selling tickets like crazy. We just launched this event and made it open. We do these events twice a year. So come connect with this amazing community. Join us on this island in Fiji. Even if you're a little bit curious, head over to that link to see what it's all about, and we'll see you there.
I'm ready.
All right. Question number one, fill in the blank, speaking about yourself. If you really knew me, you would know what?
I'm extremely generous.
Love that. Next question. What is one place that you have traveled to that you feel like most people may underappreciate or not know about?
Cancun, Mexico is gorgeous. You only get like 7 miles of paradise. Mm-hmm. You know, don't dare leave it. but within it, I'm shocked how beautiful that place is for like the money. You know, you can go to other places that are so extraordinarily pound for pound for the dollar. Cancun is pretty gorgeous.
That blue water.
It is, exactly. It is. It's absolutely amazing. And they're so grateful to have you. They treat you like royalty.
I love it. Next question. If you could turn back the time to your 16-year-old self, give him a piece of advice that you've learned from now, what would you say to him?
Listen more than you speak.
Well said. Lastly, Sean, when you think about living the unconventional life, what does living the unconventional life mean to you?
Doing what you want when you want to do it. The best thing about being an entrepreneur is I do pretty much what I want to do when I want to do it. And I get paid really, really well for it. And I can do other things I want to do because I have the resources to do it. I heard a great statement. Being poor is hard work. Being rich is hard work, but only for a season. My parents were poor, and it always stress, always stress, always stress. Being wealthy, being successful, you got to work your tail off. It's not easy, but there gets to a point where like so many things I don't have to do because I can pay people to do them. And life gets so much easier. You have so much more time as you succeed. You get it all back like times 10.
Well said, Sean, Christine, everyone. Sean, tell us about the giveaway that you've got for one of the listeners.
Yeah. If you go to my website, you'll get one of my books. You'll get the 8 Unbreakable Rules for Business Startup Success. Great book. You'll get an invitation at some point to the Weekend MBA, which is next April, which will sell out, the number one entrepreneurship event in America. So that's pretty incredible. And if you go to my Instagram, about every 2 days, I post something less than 30 seconds that actually will help you with your business. Cause it's like, I'm so direct and to the point, and it's game changing piece of advice. It's like, okay, wow, you just saved me. Like, how do I hire people? How do I fire people? You know, things like that. Like, and I give it to you in under 30 seconds.
I love that. Sean, we'll put the link for your website at seancastrina.com up the show notes. Once again, at unconventionallifeshow.com. And then for people that want to follow along on the Instagram and to stay in touch, what's the best place for people to do all that?
Yeah, sean.castrina on Instagram. I've got that little blue check mark. So go see me there. And, you know, we post a lot of really good content. And the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast.
I'm going to have to listen to a few more of these episodes of how you pull it off in 10 minutes. Sean, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. It was so great to have you on the show today, Unconventional Lifers. Go check this guy out, and we'll have more amazing content coming at you guys soon. Thanks so much, Sean.
Thank you.